The following presentation is brought to you by The Realm Network,
the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
Aloha! Bob here with this week's Bubble Genius Showcase item of the week. Oh my God, it's my favorite hibiscus soap. I love this hibiscus-shaped soap so much that Bubble Genius actually named it after me. It's Bob's favorite hibiscus soap. Go to bubblegenius.com/bob-hibiscus for soap that not only smells like Hawaii, but it massages your hands while you wash. I personally don't use any other hand soap, and I think you'll be hooked too. Only $8 for a 3-pack at bubblegenius.com, but if you use our promo code Bob and Chez, that's BOBANDCHEZ, you'll get 15% off your entire order only at bubblegenius.com.
Recorded live in the USA and covering the whole wide world, this is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
Right on!
With Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
Thankfully, there are three celebrity relationships strong enough not only to last, but to teach the rest of us. Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie, Ben Affleck and Jennifer Garner, and William H. Macy and Felicity Huffman. From their example, I've created Stephen's Laws of Love. Law number one, find someone whose name can be merged with yours to form a marketable nickname. Just like Brangelina, Benifer 2, or Philium H. Muffman. The merged name symbolizes your youth. I got a little something in my eye there. The merged name symbolizes your unity and saves headline space so that the phrase sex tape can be printed below it in a larger font.
You're always 1, 2, 3 jumps ahead. Stick with us, you'll be well fed with happy music all the while.
Easy listening with a smile.
Keep jumping, follow suit. You're gonna have a bright new future.
And tell them that we're liars.
The Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
It is Tuesday, September 8th, 2015, and this is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show. I am Bob Seska. That is Chez Pazienza sitting right there.
Yo.
Hi. Brought to you by BubbleGenius.com, the best goddamn soap in the universe. Also brought to you by the Bowen Law Group and attorney Charles J. Bowen. If you need a lawyer, better call Bo. He's the best lawyer in the goddamn universe. By the way, get free legal advice at thebowenlawgroup.com/Bob and Chez. That's BOBANDCHEZ. Or just click the link to the podcast page. It's really simple. Thank you in advance for doing that. Make sure to support our affiliates. I always forget to talk about this. That'd be littlegreenfootballs.com and the Huffington Post. By the way, while we're talking about links and link things, if you haven't already, go to our Patreon page. It's patreon.com/Bob and Chez. You can click the Patreon link just below the logo. What you can do is you can become a sponsor of the show. If you're a new listener and you haven't signed on with Patreon yet, all you got to do is like sign up for $5 a month. For $5 a month, you get the post-mortem show, which is a little mini show that we do after we record this one. It's completely uncensored, and it's composed of a lot of different things that we didn't get to talk about on the full-length show. So $5 a month, you support the show, you help keep us as commercial-free as possible. Although we're not entirely commercial-free. We could be if we get enough people signing up on Patreon. If everyone signed up at the $1 level, like all of our listeners, we would top our goal by like 5 times. Are you having a cat problem?
Yes, hugely. Seriously, cat, piss off. I mean it.
Oh, my God. I'm sorry. I'm taking delight in your cat issues.
Yeah,
what's happening? Is it Gizmo? Gizmo's acting up?
She's a kitten, and she just jumps on everything and scratches everything. I have more scratches on my body.
Well, that's what kittens do that. They have, like, these bouts of crazy. Where they go nuts.
It's completely crazy.
Yeah, they just go nuts, and then they like do like a bear hug of your leg, and then just dig their claws right into your leg. Yeah. And nothing's more shocking. There's one time I was taking a nap on the couch, and the kitten jumped up, and I swear to God, it took a single claw and just buried it in the back of my, like, the small of my back. It was just like a, and it was like, ow!
Yeah,
oh,
exactly.
My God!
Yeah, that's what she just did to me a minute ago.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's like, it's annoying when she does it anyway, because, you know, when she gets all her claws in, and even when I play with her, because then I itch, because I've got to, like, you know, I don't know whether I'm allergic or what, but I've got to, like, scratch and run it underwater, and it's just a pain in the ass, and I itch forever. But this, yeah, she just jumps over and, like, digs her claws in. I'm like, Jesus Christ,
Cap. Yeah, there's nothing more fun than a kitten that's on the jazz. I used to call it being on the jazz. They just go nuts. They find a way to just go nuts. I don't know why they do that. I don't know why cats do that. But once a day, cats just go bananas. And I can't.
She's a giant bundle of energy.
It's like some sort of weird thing where their tails become like candy canes. And then they just frantically dash around the house for no particular reason whatsoever and just go. Okay, so let's dive into the show here. I think the first we're going to talk about Kim Davis here in a second, but I wanted to talk about Colbert for a minute because the Colbert Late Show premieres tonight with special guest George Clooney. Did you see that video where he combined George Clooney and Jeb Bush into George Clooney? So goddamn funny. I think that this show is going to, I you know, and it's so funny because he's doing all these interviews and he's saying, I'm not really competing with the Jimmys or Conan. I think he's okay saying that, but I really believe that that show is going to give Jimmy Fallon a run for his money.
I don't think anything will give Fallon a run for his money. Don't get me wrong. I think that Colbert will do well, but I don't think that he's going to give, I don't think he's going to give Fallon a run for his money.
I think there's a weird factor that's going to help Colbert over Jimmy Fallon.
Probably, yeah.
I mean,
Colbert's smart. Colbert does smart tricks. Like the thing he did before the show even started last week with Jeb Bush.
Yeah.
Where Jeb Bush offered, you know.
He was raising money, basically.
Raising money. Said, hey, you know what, come win. You know, come win tickets to see me on Colbert. And Colbert's like, I wasn't informed of this.
Right.
And so basically flipped the contest around on him.
Well, it was a big coup for Jeb Bush to get on that show because Jeb Bush really, really needs it. And everyone is going to be watching tonight.
I don't know, man. Too many white men.
That's true. Too many white men. Too many white men. I think there's going to be a big Twitter backlash. But I'll be interested to see how he also handles the Kim Davis story. That's what I'm really, really looking forward to, what he has to say about the whole thing in Kentucky. Now we'll get into this. Kim Davis was released from prison today after being in jail for, what, five days?
Yeah.
And she was released under the condition that...
Released right into the arms of Mike Huckabee and Ted Cruz.
Right. And did they play Eye of the Tiger? Eye of the Tiger was the song that was playing.
Wow.
Oh, my God. And she said, Kim Davis, she said, I want to give God the glory.
Yeah.
As Eye of the Tiger blasted out of the loudspeakers and the crowd cheered. Keep on pressing.
I'm so pleased that the one thing I can give to millennials and to whatever the generation is that's coming up after them, I'm very pleased that they don't seem to be as religious as our generation, and it's certainly the generation that came before us.
Yeah.
And I'm really hoping that this means the death of this stupidity. And I think media might have something to do with it. You know me, I see everything through media. But I think it might, because I think that the only way that people see religion anymore is when it's something terrible. Just terrible.
Yeah.
You know, you fly planes into buildings, or you're some goddamn idiot who goes to jail because she doesn't like gay people.
And that's where we are now, though. I mean, the Republican Party is into this idea, and it's... has to do with same-sex marriage, has to do with abortion, where the law doesn't matter anymore. Now they're going so far as to change evidence. They're going so far as to just ignoring the law and suggesting that the only real law is God's law.
Yep.
Jesus Christ.
Exactly.
Exactly right. She says, keep on pressing. Don't let down because he is here. The capitalized he, God. God is here. The question is whether or not Kim Davis is now gay, because Ben Carson said that when you go into prison straight, you can come out gay.
A lot of people who go into prison straight, and when they come out, they're gay. So did something happen while they were in there?
Well, she wasn't in prison, if it makes you feel any better. She's in jail.
She's in jail. But you never know. You never know what happened to her in there. Like the Westboro Baptist Church people, did you see they're protesting her for some reason?
Out of whatever. Dude, this is why. This is why I've given up.
Yeah.
You need to know this entire thing, every moment of this is why it's just painful now to look at my computer, to turn on the news, to do any of that.
Mike Huckabee said, God showed up. He showed up in the form of an elected Democrat named Kim Davis. So now Kim Davis has taken godly form.
Yeah. Exactly. She's divine.
Or God has taken Kim Davis form.
Right. Of course, because this is the kind of they believe. They see Jesus in toast.
I mean, can I tell you something? She is not a Democrat. If she's a Democrat, then I'm in the fucking Tea Party.
Yeah.
She's a Democrat. She chose to run as a Democrat in the election because that's what happens in local politics. You do whatever is politically expedient. You pick a side based on the climate of the election.
Right.
And she wanted that post because her mom was in that post previously. Then it was an open election. The nominee was already in place and he happened to be a Republican. And so the only way that she could run in the election was as a Democrat.
Yeah.
She is not a Democrat. You really think that Kim Davis, who's standing up there with Mike Huckabee, would step up to the microphone and say, you know what? I don't think these gays should be married because of Leviticus, blah, 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 blah. And then say, and you know what else? Al Gore is so right about the climate crisis. We should stop carbon emissions now. We should have a carbon tax and unions forever. Woohoo! No way. Not a chance in effing hell. She is not a Democrat, but they don't care. They don't care. They'll say, she's a Democrat. Like, I don't know what the calculus is there emphasizing the fact that she's a Democrat. Does that somehow prove a point?
Some Democrats are good.
Mm-hmm. Some Democrats, yeah. Some Democrats are good.
Even Democrats realize we're right.
But, I mean, it's again, this whole thing that where they take party affiliation and they extrapolate all kinds of stuff from that. It's like when they talk about how the Democrats were the party of segregation. A political party is like an empty shell into which all kinds of stuff, depending on the times.
Ah, I get it.
All right, so that's poor Kim Davis.
Yep. She's the martyr she wanted to be, the martyr she intended to be from the very beginning.
Yeah. So she's released under the terms that she's going to authorize the issuing of
which she license. Isn't, by the way.
She won't. Yeah.
She already said she won't.
So she'll be back in prison. And now, I mean, even her lawyer is contesting the licenses that were issued in her absence. Like, they need her signature on there. Otherwise, they're not legitimate marriage licenses. So, I mean, I really, honest to God, in my darkest hour, I think what they're trying to do is precipitate a constitutional crisis.
Probably.
I mean, where else does this go? Does this build up to a certain level and just go away? Or really, does this come down to now giving state legislatures some sort of cover to just completely ignore the Supreme Court, to ignore some of these district judges? Say, you know what? We're not even going to listen anymore. We're going to nullify that ruling. I think this is where it's going. Because I think the Kentucky State Legislature is starting to look at solutions to how it can get around the Supreme Court ruling. I don't think this goes anywhere good. I think we're on the verge of some sort of conflict between the state governments, and specifically red state governments, of course, and the United States Supreme Court.
But again, that's the thing that I've talked about quite a few times. You and I have talked about where it's... We now live in California.
Yeah.
And I can't even begin to wrap my head around what the thinking is in Kentucky or Texas or Tennessee or Alabama or any of those places. They may as well be on another planet from me.
Yeah.
In terms of their politics, in terms of their culture, in terms of what they think is important.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, it really is. It's like watching the Duggars or something like that. It's
and
like,
again, I think that this is one of the reasons why the sort of thing that we talked about a couple of weeks ago, when you know, part of the hashtag I've given up ongoing meme on this show is that we failed.
Right,
democracy is a disaster.
It really
in this
is.
Country. Yep. We're too different. There are too many groups of people now who have sort of tucked themselves away into their enclaves, and they're too different. They're too different. People in most of the country, in a lot of the country, don't think like people, you know, don't think like Kim Davis. They don't think like people in deep red states. But by the same token, Jesus, the people in Alabama couldn't even imagine thinking the way people in New York, L.A., and so on do.
That's true. But what we what we've reached now is a point in which the normal rules of the discourse are being entirely circumvented, if not
absolutely
entirely ignored. Because instead of debating the merits of a law based on the actual established functions of the legislative branch and also the state legislatures, and then weave into that the judicial branch, which is really at issue here, instead of going through the normal means, they're entirely circumventing this now.
Yeah, it's
they're
just saying, we're not going to do this, and Barack Obama isn't a legitimate president.
Right, we're not going to do what the Supreme Court has commanded.
Yeah,
we're not going to do this
anymore. The Supreme Court doesn't have any authority.
Right, exactly.
To do this, the Supreme Court that's had authority pretty much since its inception.
Yeah, that's astonishing to me now. Yeah. And yeah,
and they just suddenly they've rewritten the rules.
And you know, look, whether it was Barack Obama or George W. Bush or Ronald Reagan. There are presidents who sign executive orders and establish things at the executive level just through presidential fiat. They're just saying, you know, I'm going to sign this piece of paper. I'm going to do it this way. Until another president comes along and strikes that down, which tends to happen sometimes. You know, that's something that is normal. That is normal within the normal boundaries of the discourse. What Barack Obama has done is perfectly in that sweet spot of what all presidents do. In fact, Barack Obama has done it far less often than previous presidents. But they're going to cite that as saying, well, he did it first. He circumvented the Constitution. Now we're going to do it too. Yeah, but no one's dancing a jig in the face of the United States Supreme Court and saying, F you, we're not going to pay attention to what you want or what you've ruled. It's judicial tyranny.
These are traitors.
Yeah.
They really are.
Yep.
And then you've got Tom Cotton making deals with, you know, saying he's not going to listen to the not going to go with anything the president says or anything the country says. And he's making sort of backhanded deals with Netanyahu.
Right.
You've got people who just won't listen to anything President Obama has to say. People who say, well, you know what, that Constitution, the anchor baby thing.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to call them anchor babies, no matter how kind of horribly racist it is. Yeah, well, screw that. We just don't have to do that. You're born in this country. No, actually, it turns out you can be deported.
Yeah.
It's just, nobody gives a crap anymore.
That's right. That's right.
We've become, it's a country of chaos, of absolute lawlessness. And the worst part about it is that it's lawlessness sanctioned by one party.
Well, the chaos.
By the way, ironically, the Law and Order Party.
And the chaos hasn't even – yeah, the personal responsibility party too, by the way.
The personal responsibility law and order party.
The chaos hasn't even really started. It hasn't started yet. But where it's really easy to see where this is going. This is going someplace that's going to be really, really bad. Unless cooler heads prevail and they somehow back off at the last minute without going so far as to seriously challenge the Supreme Court to dare this. Because, I mean, we already have judges, all like wingnut judges going around saying, well, we're not going to issue any licenses. We're not going to do this or that. We're not going to pay attention to the Supreme Court. You have state legislatures who are slowly wheeling back or closing the window on legal abortions in their states. There's all kinds of things that are going on that haven't quite reached that tipping point where it erupts into something that is far more than just some sort of publicity shenanigan, like is what's going on in Kentucky. The shenanigans in Kentucky could absolutely elevate into something much worse. We got to take a quick break. Talk about we're going to talk about Trump right after this. Hello, it's Bob to tell you about our Patreon page. You might be asking yourself, what the hell is a Patreon page? It's a website where you can help support our podcast by donating money to the show. You can sign up for $1, $5, $10, or $15 per month, or if you're filthy rich, you can sign up for more. In exchange, we'll bring you exclusive Patreon-only content like our post-mortem shows, memberships to the after party, and commercial-free, unbleeped versions of our free show. And if we reach our crowdfunding goal, we'll bring you new shows every weekday. That's patreon.com/Bob and Chez, or click the Patreon link at bobseska.com. Let's do this thing.
Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
Yes, it is. Welcome back to the show today. Thank you for joining us each and every Tuesday and Thursday.
I've never seen you look like this without a reason. Another promise falling.
All right, if you listen to last week's show, Thursday show? I don't know what day it was. One of the shows last week, we talked about Donald Trump. Maybe it was the after party. Did we talk about this on the after party? Donald Trump on the Hugh Hewitt show, getting flummoxed on the Hugh Hewitt show about...
I know we talked about it last week. I don't remember.
I don't remember
who you're talking to. I did a lot of drugs. I don't remember like 2 days ago.
I don't remember either. I don't remember at all.
But I know that, you know, Hugh Hewitt stumped him.
Yeah.
Tripped him up with a gotcha question, which then, of course, caused Trump to, as soon as he left, got off the phone with Hugh Hewitt, he immediately started up calling him a third-rate hack and nobody and a loser and so on.
Oh, our producers are informing me that it was the after party in which we were talking about Trump. Well, Trump in this Hugh Hewitt radio show clip said that he's going to be so good at military, it'll make your head spin.
So good at military.
So good. Now, I think he said at the military, but it's funnier if you just say at military. Here's the actual clip of Trump saying that.
I will be so good at the military, your head will spin.
Wow.
I will be so good at the military.
We're a stupid, stupid country.
Yes, we are. Jesus Christ. I will be so good at the military, your head will spin. Then he said,
I never could have imagined this. Like when I was younger,
just
you know, I knew that the two sides that partisan politics essentially meant that two sides hate each other or they don't like each other. They don't like working with each other. But I couldn't have imagined that this is where we'd be, that we really would turn into this circus. And it's funny because people like, you know, Paddy Chayefsky predicted it a long time ago.
Yeah. Oh, God, yes.
You know, this is where we are now. It's a fucking circus, man.
It really is. I mean, when you have the front runner for the Republican nomination saying, I'm going to be so good at the military, it's this.
I will be so good at the military, your head will spin.
That's the Republican front runner.
Right.
Half of the country.
And that's it. And that, by the way, that is so perfectly illustrative of how Donald Trump deals with everything. He just, it's kind of like his answer about the Bible.
Yeah.
Oh, I love the Bible. The Bible, excellent book. He doesn't actually elaborate on anything and give you any details showing that he knows what the hell he's talking about. He drops buzzwords. I'm going to be great at the military. Oh, okay, but how? I'm going to be great at it. People will love me. I'm going to be great at it.
Yeah. Your head will
spin. What's your favorite verse in the Bible? I love the Bible. The Bible's very personal. I love the Bible.
Well, now he said prep school gave him more training militarily than the actual military could have.
Yeah, I saw that.
Despite his many draft deferments, Donald Trump claims that his time at a military prep school better prepared him for life in the military than actual military training would have done. The 2016 GOP presidential candidate made the statement during an interview with former Newsday reporter Michael D'Antonio, whose biography of the New York real estate mogul, Never Enough, Donald Trump and the Pursuit of Success, will be published on September 22nd by St. Martin's Press. Oh, good. That should be good. Later this month, we're going to see Trump on the book tour.
Great.
In addition to running for president. According to Trump,
and he'll say that. Make sure you get this book. It's excellent.
I'll be so good at the book, your head will spin.
I'll be so good at the book.
I will be so good at the military, your head will spin.
This is the best, biggest, classiest, most huge book you've ever seen.
I'll be so good at the book. All right. According to Trump, who attacked the war hero status of Senator John McCain in July, his education at the New York Military Academy gave him more training militarily than a lot of the guys that go into the military. That was a quote.
I'm starting to think that this whole thing is really a put on.
Yeah.
that essentially what he's doing is trying to see what it takes to get himself sort of publicly lynched.
Yeah, well, in a move.
You know, lynched, figuratively lynched. You know, enough to where people finally get fed up and throw him the hell out of this race. I think that's why. I think he says things. I'm starting to believe that he says things, and in the back of his mind, he's going, well, this will do it.
Yeah, that's
this'll,
right.
This'll, you know, well, let's see if they put up with this. And every time they don't, he just, oh, okay, I'm just going to go further with this. Okay.
Yeah, it's like something out of a political satire movie.
Yeah, this is satire. The whole thing is satire.
Yeah. Like, at some point, he's going to come out and say, let's cut the shit right now. This has all been a big joke. The joke is on you. The joke is on the GOP. I deliberately came up, and I've been really good at the joke. I've been so good at the joke, your head will spin.
Yeah.
You know, and actually, well, yeah, it has. He is good if he actually does that.
You know what's going to happen at the end of this, where this is headed, the end game on this? Mm. Finally, he's going to be up there making a speech at some point. He is going to reach to his neck, pull off his mask, and it's going to be Andy Kaufman.
Andy Kaufman.
This entire time, Trump has been Andy Kaufman, ever since the 80s, ever since the late 80s.
And say, thank you very much. I am so good at Andy Kaufman, your head will spin. Yeah. I'm so good at the Andy Kaufman, your head will spin.
I will be so good at the military, your head will spin.
It's really something out of, like, some sort of, like, Tim Robbins political satire.
Yeah, yeah, no, absolutely. And, you know, it's, God damn it, it's just depressing.
Mm.
It really, really is. Because if it's not a joke, which it probably is not, the sad thing is that he's a lazy motherfucker.
Oh, yeah.
He really is. He can't even take the time to come up with a decent answer. Everything he does is done off the cuff because he figures, what the hell? I'm great. I'm the greatest thing on earth. People will listen. He doesn't even bother to write speeches. He doesn't even bother to learn. He doesn't care about anything.
He doesn't bother to find an actual pen with which to sign documents. He just uses a big ass Sharpie.
Yeah. I mean, exactly. Every single thing about him is just absolute laziness.
Yeah. It says here, Trump attended New York Military Academy, where a single year's worth of tuition currently sits at around $31,000 for 5 years. As the New York Times noted, D'Antonio's book explains that he wore a uniform, participated in marching drills, and was expected to conform to a hierarchy imposed by instructors, some of whom had served in the military. Or as the GOP candidate puts it, quote, I felt I was in the military in the true sense because I dealt with those people. His parents sent him to this academy for his eighth grade year when his behavioral problems at Kew Forest, a more traditional prep school located in Queens, became too much for the teaching staff.
You know, back in when I was a little bit younger, back in 1982, I saw the movie Taps with George C. Scott and Timothy Hutton. Yeah, that qualifies me. I think that I know a lot about the military and being a cadet because I saw Taps.
I watched Full Metal Jacket, and I like the way Sergeant Hartman treated Private Pyle. So choke yourself, and what I'm doing is I'm choking these other candidates because they're weak.
Yeah.
They're
weak.
By
seeing Platoon, I felt like I was actually in Vietnam.
I'm going to tell Jeb Bush, I'm going to tell Rand Paul, who's low energy, that you owe me for one jelly donut. You're going to stand there and you're going to eat your jelly donut while I make everyone do push-ups on their knuckles. He knows more about military because he went to a military school for eighth grade. Well, I'll be damned. If that's all it required for military experience, John McCain's going, what the f*** did I get myself into? If it just took going to military school for eighth grade, I could have saved myself a lot of headache. Thanks for nothing, Trump. Now you tell us. All right, we're going to take another break, back with more show right after this. Hello, Bob here to talk about Tweaked Audio. Listener Karen R. wrote to us this week about Tweaked Audio's earbuds, and here's what she had to say. Thanks for the Tweaked Audio link. Had trouble finding decent but not too expensive pods for chores and biking, so tried these. Happy! Exclamation mark. Go now to our website and click the banner for Tweaked Audio for the best in earbuds and earphones. They come with a lifetime warranty and free shipping to anywhere in the world. And Tweaked Audio's earbuds and earphones will work with all of your devices. Available in mic'd or unmic'd versions, they're designed to reduce outside noise and they're perfect for both music and talk. Hear us and everything better with Tweaked Audio earbuds. And if you use the promo code BANDC, that's B-A-N-D-C at checkout, you'll save 30% off the listed price. Nearly one-third off on comfortable quality earbuds warranted for life with free shipping anywhere. Again, use the code BANDC to save big on quality earbuds. Just click the banner for Tweaked Audio at BobSeska.com.
Shove Bob and Chez into your pants and haul them around with you wherever you go.
Shove us.
Subscribe to the Bob and Chez Show in the podcast section on iTunes.
Oh, my God. Segment 2 is brought to you by the BobSeska.com Amazon link. If you shop at Amazon.com, enter the site using our link just below the logo at BobSeska.com. We get a small commission from everything you buy. It costs you nothing. It doesn't look weird. It's just like you're shopping at Amazon.com, but they give us a small commission from everything you purchase, and it helps support the show. Thank you in advance for that. All right. So Sarah Palin somehow was called upon to be an expert guest this past weekend because of the Denali thing, the Mount McKinley thing. So she was on CNN specifically on Sunday.
Why? Why do they keep giving this a platform?
I don't know. But she was. And she said that, among other things, that she's perfectly qualified to be a President Trump's energy secretary. She wants to be. She was asked, would she have a role in Donald Trump's administration? And she said, I think a lot about the Department of Energy because energy is my baby. That is an actual quote. I'm not reading this from some fake news site. She said, I think a lot about the Department of Energy because energy is my baby. And chemistry is my stepdaughter. The space-time continuum is my aunt and uncle combined. So fucking stupid. Oil and gas and minerals, those things that God has dumped on this part of the earth.
For God's sake, of course.
On this part of the earth, what part is that? Those things that God has dumped on this part of the earth for mankind's use instead of us relying on unfriendly foreign nations for us to import their resources. I think a lot about the Department of Energy, she said this again, and if I were to head that, I'd get rid of it.
What?
That's her plan. She said that if I were head of that, I'd get rid of it, and I'd let the states start having more control over the lands that are within their boundaries and the people who are affected by the developments within their states, she said. So as soon as she gets appointed energy secretary, she would get rid of the Department of Energy, effectively getting rid of her own job. So I guess she would come in on day one, she'd be sworn in, and then she'd say, okay, this is over, I'm getting rid of this entire cabinet-level department. Bye-bye! You betcha! And then she'd sign a document, and then the whole thing would disappear.
Of course she'd quit.
She'd walk right back out the door, go do her reality shows again, her little Facebook videos. I'm
why
not making it up.
Still around?
So you know
why is she still around?
For some reason, CNN State of the Union thought it would be a great idea to bring her on.
No, it's not.
Talk about Denali. She said, "So you know, if I were in charge of that, it would be a short-term job, but it would be it would be really great to have someone who knows energy and is pro responsible development to be in charge." After that word salad, she went on to say that people who immigrate to the United States should talk American.
She said that again?
Yeah. No, well, this is the original one.
First time. Okay.
She said she should speak speak American. Here's Sarah Palin.
I don't know what, choosing to speak English or Spanish in a conversation, what that would have to do with somebody opposing it with tolerance or not. I think that...
What the f*** is she saying?
she's speaking American is what she's doing. Maybe that's the language that Sarah Palin speaks. She's made up her own language and she's named it American.
Sure.
Because there
she's
is no...
already proven that.
Yeah.
It has words like... what was her word? Refudiate? Is that her... Remember that?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, she makes up all kinds of words. She makes, like, the phrase, you know, she described the vice presidency as position flexible.
Thankfully, our founders were wise enough to say we have this position and it's constitutional. Vice president will be able to be not only the position flexible, but it's going to be sort of those other duties as assigned by the president. A simple thing. I don't think that was a gaffe at all.
So maybe there is. Maybe there's another language that is a language, and it's sure. It's called American.
Steve, very strong, he going rogue.
That is also some sort of Sarah Palin language.
Yeah, that's her idea. Because remember who she thinks Americans are, real Americans.
Yeah.
So, yeah, apparently American is basically yokel English.
Right.
Dumb sh- yokel redneck English.
Absolutely.
Word so, salad English.
In the American language, they drop the G's off of everything.
Yeah.
Going rogue.
Going rogue. Yeah.
Steve, very strong.
Steve, very strong. He going rogue.
Right.
That makes perfect sense.
Yeah. And we haven't even gotten to the actual introduction of the American language yet.
It's a benefit of Jeb Bush to be able to be so fluent in Spanish, because we have a large and wonderful Hispanic population that, you know, is helping to build America. And that's good. And that's a great relationship that and connection that he has with them through his wife and through his family connections. On the other hand, you know, I think we can send a message to say, you want to be in America? A, you better be here legally or you're out of here. B, when you're here, let's speak American. I mean, that's let's speak English, and that's kind of a unifying aspect of a nation.
It just pains. Seriously, it pains me to listen to her. It's physical. It's a physical response.
Let's all speak American. Why don't we? Maybe she could create the textbook for how you learn to speak American. Because she doesn't know how to speak English. I know that.
No.
But she clearly knows how to speak American. Like here's one of the finest examples of Sarah Palin speaking American.
Soaring through nature's finest show, Denali, the great one, soaring under the midnight sun. And then the extremes. In the wintertime, it's the frozen road that is competing with the view of ice-fogged, frigid beauty. The cold, though, doesn't it split the chichacos from the sourdoughs?
Oh, God.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
That is. That's.
And I'm even willing to accept that some of those words are, of course, provincial, colloquial.
Right.
If you will.
Yeah. I mean, chichacos and sourdoughs, that's probably some sort of thing in Wasilla or in Alaska that I'm unaware of. But the fact is that the structure of how she described who these characters are, and I assume there's some form of indigenous, not indigenous people, but it's like maybe the rednecks over there don't like the rednecks over there or whatever.
Right.
Maybe it's something like that. But it's certainly not English, whatever the hell she was just speaking there.
No, it's not.
All right, we're going to take one last
break. She
can't
compose a sentence to save her life.
No, absolutely not. You know, I was, speaking of idiots, I was not going to talk about Dan Bedondi for quite some time. Mm-hmm. And I don't have any audio necessarily of Dan Bedondi. There's just something happened on Facebook that is noteworthy that I think we have to talk about. And we'll do that right after.
Terrifying.
Terrifying. After a quick break, back after this.
You can't always get a clean you can feel good about inside and out unless you're using Bubble Genius bath and body products. See, Bubble Genius is a woman-owned small business proudly creating our vegan-friendly products in America and supporting other U.S. businesses by buying our ingredients and supplies from them as often as possible. Plus, you'll be hard-pressed to find packaging as recyclable as ours. Visit BubbleGenius.com and check out our cause-related items, too, like our global warming soap and a lot more. We donate our proceeds for those items to worthy causes, like organizations combating climate change and mountaintop removal mining. Good stuff like that. We also send our products to the troops overseas through our Buy a Soldier a Shower campaign. Because the least we can do is keep them smiling and smelling great, right? So visit BubbleGenius.com and feel good and clean. Bubble Genius, doing our part to make the world a better place, one bathtub at a time. That's BubbleGenius.com.
Genius Bob and Chez Show with Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
Hey, hi. Thank you for joining us on our Tuesday show. I know it's Tuesday. Look at the calendar.
Out here in the fields.
Okay, before we get to Dan Bedondi, I just had a one more bit of, I guess you could call this election-related news, which means we should do that. I have a special message for the Vice President. Vice President needs to stop f***ing around. I'm just saying, you know, it was fun for a couple of days to say, yeah, maybe I'm going to run for president, maybe I'm not. But now he's got to stop f***ing around. Joe Biden has got to stop f***ing around at this point. And because, you know, he's disrupting things.
Yeah,
now.
He is.
And if he's,
I'm still a firm believer that Clinton is nowhere near done, and I think that the Democrats should get their asses behind her, and that's it.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
that's my opinion.
Here's the thing: we have everything to lose with this election, and I shouldn't say we. I mean, the Democrats have everything to lose in this election.
Yes.
Because all they've got to do is not play grab ass like the Republicans, and they're going to win. Possibly in a landslide, at least in the Electoral College.
Yeah,
they just need to stop f***ing around. And Joe Biden at this point is f***ing around. And you know, look, honestly, I don't care if it ends up being Bernie Sanders. I don't care if it ends up being Hillary Clinton. The polls show that either one of them could probably beat whoever the Republicans put up. But if Joe Biden doesn't stop effing around with whether he's going to get in or whether he's not, what it's doing right now is it's weakening Hillary Clinton, and it could potentially end up weakening Bernie Sanders. It could take votes away from both of them. I mean, and it surely will. So right now, in a Monmouth University poll released Tuesday, finds that Clinton support has dropped to 42%. Among Democratic and Democratic-leading voters. At the same time, Biden's support has increased to 22%. Bernie Sanders is up 4 points and now sits closely behind Biden with 20% of the vote, placing the two in an essential tie, giving the polls a 5.3% margin of error. So, I mean, here's what's happening with Biden. He's dipping his toe into the water, not really running, and it's damaging the front runner. Good job. What we really need to do is enter the general election in 2016 with a damaged front runner.
Yeah.
Smart.
Yeah.
Why the hell is Biden doing this? He's got no chance. And if he does have a chance, God help us all. He would be a god-awful nominee. And look, I guess Biden's a nice enough guy in person. I agree with many of his politics. Something about Joe Biden has always rubbed me the wrong way.
I like Biden.
It started with his support of the bankruptcy bill back in 2005. He supported President Bush and the reform of the bankruptcy process. It was all a big giveaway to all the credit card companies, which happened to be based in where? Wilmington. Where's that? Yeah. Delaware. Where's Biden from? Delaware. So, of course, Biden supported that. And that just put a sour taste in my mouth that Biden would vote for something that was one of the least discussed, but one of the most awful pieces of legislation from the Bush administration was that bankruptcy bill. So that started off like, come on, Biden. But he seems like he's been a good vice president, seems like a nice guy, but he's making a big mistake right now, screwing around with the Democratic nomination process. If he's going to get in, get in. If you're going to not run, say you're not running and be done with it.
Yeah, I agree.
But right now, it's way too grabastic for my taste.
Yeah.
And they just don't need that. Okay, so speaking of grabastic, Dan Bedondi, InfoWars, Alex Jones, conspiracy theory goon, Dan Bedondi with his stupid, stupid voice.
Yes, one of the stupidest people on earth. I mean, genuinely, the dumbest person, the dumbest man alive.
He was photographed. He photographed and posted this on his Facebook page. It's a public page. He's got like one of those public figure pages on Facebook.
Wow.
Posted photographs of himself buying firearms. It looks like he's buying or at least trying out various high-powered firearms out of the back of a van.
It's classy.
Yeah. So he's got himself photographed.
That's very reassuring.
It looks like, you remember the Lee Harvey Oswald, like, Life magazine cover?
Yeah, it does. It looks just like that.
Lee Harvey Oswald in his backyard holding the Mannlicher Carcano rifle. Mm-hmm. And then he's got another shot of it's Lee Harvey Oswald holding various handguns. And then whatever pamphlets that he's got, political pamphlets. Well, Dan Badani's pictured the same way. He's got this big, what is it, like a big shotgun?
Spaz, yeah.
And then he's got...
Yeah, it's a Spaz. He mentions that.
Yeah. And then he's got what, like an M60? Is that an M60 with a telescopic...
I just, oddly enough, I just remember that. And I'm not sure I remember all the other weapons he has, but I know I remember that.
Yeah, I think the M60 has a bayonet affixed. And then he's also got, looks like an AR-15 here. The funniest thing about this, though, are the comics. Because I posted this. Oh, yeah, it's an AR-15. He writes a 30-yard 6, which is wrong. Isn't it a 30-06?
As far as I know.
Not a 30-yard 6.
Let's Google that and find out. I think we need to know that for sure.
30-yard 6. That's not even a gun. It's 30-06. That's right here. Okay. A 30, it's like a .30-06. Is pronounced 30-06.
30-06.
Or a 30-06 is also another pronunciation
for
it.
Yes, it's a 30-06 or 30-06.
It's not a 30-yard 6.
No, he's just mispronouncing it because he, again, is the dumbest man alive.
Yeah.
He's a f***ing moron.
God forbid I misspell a word. God forbid I mispronounce something. Like Nyatno.
It's because of his accent. It's a 30-yard 6.
That's right.
That's what it is. It's his accent.
So the black market salesman who's selling these hot weapons, these plausibly stolen weapons out of the back of a van.
Out of the back of a van.
Said 30-06, and he's going, 30-06. 30-06.
I know what that is. It's a 30-06. I got that.
Mr. Second Amendment shall not be infringed. Can't even name the name of the gun that he's holding. And then he's got a Spaz 12, and then a 45, a 40, and another 45. Those are the different handguns that he's holding in another shot. But what was hilarious, of course, all of my commenters jumped in on Facebook.
I love it when that happens.
Oh, my God. The first two comments right away were winners. That's a lot of dings. And then someone else, Steve Everett, says, all those dings. He's got lots of dings.
And this is so fun to piss on his parade.
Another person writes, oh, for f***'s sake, someone let Uncle Fester have an assault weapon.
It must bother him that he can post pictures of himself with machine guns, and people still aren't afraid of him.
Yeah.
They're still mocking him.
Right. Well, and then there's one picture where he's aiming the gun with the bayonet right at the guy standing next to the van.
There you go. Which sure, is why not?
Our friend Michael Latham said, he really must have a small ding. He's got a small ding. Yeah, and that became a running thing. Richard Harris writes, effing hell, how small does your penis have to be to own that many guns? Yeah. And then, of course, everyone's debunking his 30-yard six thing.
Right.
CRT says, isn't it a 30-aught six, not a 30-yard six?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. And then, of course, there's the small... Yeah, there's more. Someone posted a picture of a micro penis. And that was just the only response. It was just a picture of a micro penis.
That's good. I like that.
So join me on Facebook for the best micro penis photos in our comment threads. Someone writes, beef smoking guns. Why am I reminded of the movie Christmas Story? Keep imagining him in a pink bunny suit about to shoot his eye out.
Yeah,
that'd be great if he had shot his eye out.
You know, but it's like, as funny as it is, though, mm-hmm. it's fucking terrifying.
It really is.
It is. This bonehead this moron who is terrified of his own shadow.
Yep. Well, and I'll tell you why here. Why
it's he's heavily armed.
He's heavily,
heavily armed. And he's an idiot.
He owns a 357 Magnum. He's brandished it on his truthradioshow.com. Waved his shiny metallic penis around. His 357 Magnum penis. This is Dan Bedondi on his Truth Radio show not too long ago.
And when these abortion clinics are closed, when there's nobody in the building, I hope somebody bombs the hell out of these things. I don't. I really do. Roll C4 in a damn cement truck or something, drive right through the building, blow it off the face of the earth. Make sure there's nobody in there. I'm not calling for any death at all. God's got to deal with these scumbags. So, you know, God will have his way with these scum. So I'm not calling to kill anybody or nothing like that. When these places are empty, blow these things off the face of the earth.
Mm-hmm. So in all of this Planned Parenthood hysteria, a story that went almost entirely unnoticed over the weekend, over the Labor Day weekend, comes to us from Spokane, Washington. Federal Terrorism Task Force probes arson fire at Planned Parenthood Clinic in Pullman. The Inland Northwest Joint Terrorism Task Force is investigating an arson fire at Planned Parenthood in Pullman, which is set off fire and burglary alarms at 3:30 a.m. Friday and caused significant damage to the building. The three-year-old clinic was the scene of a major anti-abortion demonstration last month, one of several in eastern Washington. As a result of the fire, it is now structurally unsafe. Rich Drago, a Pullman fire investigator, told KHQ News in Spokane that the fire was arson. After several hours of investigation, the fire department called in agents of the U.S. Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms and Explosives to probe the crime scene. It is an appalling act of violence toward Planned Parenthood, but unfortunately a predictable ripple effect of the false and incendiary attacks that fuel violence from extremists, said Tanya Reardon, vice president for community outreach, Planned Parenthood of Greater Washington and Northern Idaho. As for the future, said Reardon, our priority is to find a safe operating site and reconvene services for our patients immediately. This is, well, yeah, I mean, it's absolutely terrorism. Dan Bedondi disputed whether something like that is terrorism.
And he's full of shit, because it's absolutely terrorism.
Yes. Because it's like, does anyone want to go to work at the replacement Planned Parenthood now? Knowing?
And let's not forget, it's such a wonderfully convenient thing to say, make sure there's nobody in there.
Yeah.
How the hell are you ever going to know?
Right. How are you going to know? What if there's a custodian?
How are you going to know? What if there's somebody working late? What if there's a janitor? Whatever.
Yeah. Someone falls asleep at their desk working late, just snoozing, and in comes Dan Bedondi with his van full of C4.
Yeah.
He's basically talking about suicide bombing Planned Parenthood facilities. That's what Dan Bedondi's talking about.
He's too chicken shit to kill himself.
Well, so what would you do? You would just put the van into gear and just let
Probably.
It go?
He'll figure something out.
Figure something out. With his 30-yard six.
He's a very smart guy. I'm sure he can figure that out.
He'll work it out. Now, he'll start the car up. He'll start the van up. He'll have all his C4 back there. Start driving forward. The door will be closed. You know, he'll have his sunglasses and his driving gloves on. There'll be a bundle of bamboo in the back seat for some reason.
Why can't I get this van to start?
He
doesn't get out of his driveway because he forgets that you need keys to start the van.
Or he refuses to wear a seatbelt.
Right. I don't want the government to tell me I got to wear a seatbelt.
That's right, yeah.
Shall not be infringed my Fourth Amendment rights.
And then he starts toward the abortion clinic, forgets to jump out of the van, and just drives himself right into the abortion clinic.
Well, at least something good would come out of it.
Yeah. Said, oh my God, I forgot to jump out of the van. Here I go, crashing in the building. Or maybe he'll load up as one of his airplanes, because as we learned, Dan Bedondi is a pilot, evidently.
That's right.
So that's, you know what, that's why we talk about that guy. Just as a reminder.
Because he's heavily armed.
What happened in eastern Washington was exactly what Dan Bedondi was calling for. It may not have been a van filled with C4, but it was an arson attack in the middle of the night.
When no one was there, we don't want no death. God will take care of the scum.
But, you know, still terrorism. Still absolutely terrorism. And no one was, again, there was a terrorist attack against a Planned Parenthood in Washington State, and
barely even made a blip in the news. If it had been a Christian church, like a mega church, and it had been carried out by a Muslim, then it would have been Panic City. But a domestic terrorism attack against Planned Parenthood, and it's just, you know, crickets chirping.
Yeah.
Crickets chirping, just like always. And I'm wondering how Dan Bedani is still at large. Because, frankly, I'd want to know where Dan Bedani was at 3 a.m. Friday morning. I mean, I'm sure he was in Rhode Island. Probably figuring out some way to assault another public official while they're walking from their office to their car. Putting the final touches on his latest truthradioshow.com. Okay. We have a fascinating postmortem show coming up. Everything we didn't get to on the free show. But one more little bit of Dan Bedani excellence. And it sort of ties into what we were talking about with his guns, because he posted another Facebook status update. And there was one thing that made me laugh. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Plus a lot more. If you want to sign up for the postmortem show, all you got to do is go to patreon.com/Bob and Chez or click the link for Patreon on the website at bobsesco.com. It's just below the logo. Takes you over there. Sign up for $5 a month, and you support the show, plus you get the postmortem show. Sign up at $10 a month, you get the postmortem show and the after party. If you sign up at $15 a month, you get the postmortem show, the after party, plus a commercial-free, unbleeped version of this show. I'm told people love it. They love not having the bleeps. They love not having commercials. It's just our uncensored talking for however long it is. For however long we feel like doing the show. Oh, and by the way, enjoy the premiere of the Colbert Late Show tonight. But, of course, listen to our show first before any Colbert goes on. Got to listen to this show first, and then you have our permission to go and watch Colbert. All right, we'll see you on the postmortem show. Bye.
Very strong, he going rogue.